There are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast.
Regrettably, yes.
None of us are even introduced yet, so I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, the newsman, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
Yep. Most regrettable.
Whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we can't use
that. No, we can't use any of that. No.
But we can use this. What's up?
What up?
How y'all doing?
What up?
Regrettable.
Doing good. Regrettable episode 15 launching right in. For Patrick and Jay, I'm Tyler. Thanks for listening. We out. Peace.
What's up, homie?
Oh, that's the best one yet.
Yeah, right?
Funny. Someone might actually take you up on the gizmos now.
Oh, man. Yeah, thank goodness. 15-second podcast.
Not a single gizmo taker.
Nobody wants to play with Tyler's gizmo?
Dude.
I get it.
Whatever. RegrettableJTP@gmail.com. If you don't send me something, I got to get you a gizmo. What's going on here?
Even if there's only 50 people downloading, let's say there's 50 people download today. Let's say it.
Yeah, because it's a lot more than that.
There's 50 of, there's a lot more, but I'm saying if 50 people download today, those 50 people, none of y'all decided to send us a regrettablejtp@gmail.com. Email.
I think my theory is that we have very humble, good-hearted listeners who are like, oh, well, everybody's going to be bombarding Tyler with gizmo requests, so I don't want to be part of that.
You suck ass. No, they're send me something. Send me something.
Wipe the brown off your face, okay? And send Tyler an email.
My goodness.
To get his gizmos.
Yeah.
Yes. He's been working hard on these gizmos.
Man.
Yes.
I mean.
Assembling them.
Yes.
Yeah, a little gizmo factory.
Yeah. Exactly.
A production line to gizmo.
Cut that out.
I was talking about actual Impaloopas, but anyway.
Yeah, okay. No,
I didn't realize you were talking about that. Sorry.
Sorry.
You just faked it well.
Oh, man. But yeah, speaking of production lines, man, you enlightened me to what the production line of the main industry here in our small town sounds like. And it sounds horrible. You know, I mean, it's not like I've worked the most demanding jobs, but this one is definitely the least physically demanding that I've ever worked ever. And I'm not talking about the podcast. I'm talking about what I do at the radio station.
Right.
But, you know, just listening a little bit. Do you got any of that in your head? Anything you might be able to regale us about? Just so you moved to Sevier County. You're useless as a worker.
it's a given.
Yeah. Let's say you your skill level is almost none.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
No charisma. No strength. Exactly. No intelligence. But you have endurance.
Yeah, a little bit of endurance. So you go to some of the main manufacturing industry in town, which you're going to get put onto a production line. What does that look like?
Oh, goodness.
And if you haven't worked there, you can't see it.
No.
Right.
No, I've only pieced this together from stories because generally there's not a whole lot of switching. I mean, I'm sure there is switching from one section of the processing line to the other, but again, I've kind of pieced this together, and we have all seen, anybody who's ever driven on a highway has seen a chicken truck go by. It's not the right place to start, but let's just start there.
Yeah.
You see a chicken truck. It's an 18-wheeler with an 80,000-pound trailer filled with live chickens. And they're sectioned off in 4x4 cages that are just big enough to encompass the height of a chicken. They're stuffed in there shoulder to shoulder, like probably a chicken can't even turn around in those cages. Those cages then get brought to a processing facility, right? And you have workers that unload that truck, take the cages off, put them on, I guess, some kind of conveyor belt system that then get funneled into the guts of the processing facility itself. And I believe that the next step for the chicken cage is it goes to the live hang, which is exactly what it sounds like. That's what I love about it.
So wait, it starts with you're just taking, because it's like Legos, right? Those chicken cages, they're all stacked. It's not, you know. Like you have to keep, you take the chicken cage off.
Yes.
It's got however many chickens in
right.
it. That's the first
like 20, job. 25, 30, now, somewhere in there.
The cage goes on to a conveyor belt and down and to the next.
I believe so. Again, I've not seen this, but this is just what I've pieced together.
Right.
Through various stories and things that have been regaled to me. So
right.
That goes then to the live hang, which again is exactly what it sounds like. You have people that take pick the chicken out of the cage and they put it into a little shackle system. That's like a like a conveyor belt in the air, but right. It's got little shackles that hangs down. You got to put chicken into each one of those shackles.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then that goes down to like the to the degutting and defeathering process.
When does the chicken get killed in this? Like on that conveyor belt where it's hung, and then it just like it goes through the throat slicing machine.
Yeah, there's a throat slicing machine, bleeds them to death. It's supposed to be very painless, and it's supposed to be very quick. And honestly, I've done backyard chickens before, and there's two ways to kill a chicken. I've had to do this a couple times. You know, you need to lop its head off traditional style, and a lot of flair to that. But the other way is that you let them bleed out and you just like nick their jugular and they bleed to death very slowly. It's painless to them. Or I think they bleed out pretty quick.
The
chicken's heart's just pumping.
A chicken will tell us.
Yeah,
that it's painless.
Who cares? It's a chicken.
It's a chicken.
Yeah, I'm eating it anyway. So.
Dumb animal.
Yeah, it got itself in this mess in the first place.
Just be glad you're not covered in oil.
PETA.
Yeah.
PETA. No.
And then it goes to eventually makes it to another. Now you've got what is like what you think of like a turkey for a turkey dinner, but not cooked. You know, it's got the legs.
Where do the feathers go?
I think they're like boiled away. Yeah, they're like in some kind of caustic material. Like it. Yeah, and then it comes
out perfect.
You can't have people pluck the feathers off. It tastes too long. Yeah. You ever de-plucked a chicken?
But you ever watched The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? When Tuco's sitting there and he's plucking the feathers off the chicken, ready to boil it. Oh, it looks so good, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I said de-pluck. That would be putting the feathers back on, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, sorry.
But by the way, all the food in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly looks so good. So
the opening scene makes me hungry every time.
But even remember the scene where Tuco gets the crap kicked out of him by Angel Eyes in that military camp?
Yeah.
Like, and he invites him in and has him sit at the table and it's like a feast. The food looks so good.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Like homemade stew and freshly baked bread and stuff.
Oh, the potatoes.
Yeah.
There was like taters that were just, taters.
Size your head.
Yeah, buddy.
Don't make them like that anymore.
Nope.
But
them GMO taters.
So you have the basically the de-headed, the de-feathered, de-gutted chicken that then goes to a process.
Well, gutted, because de-gutted would be like stuffing it back in again.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Or just be de-gut.
I've always been bad with prefixes.
Right.
Okay. De-gut. It was not gut anymore.
Yeah. The don't de-gut your
without
chicken.
Without gut.
Again, I'm sorry. Prefixes, not my greatest strength.
Sure, sure.
Any case, another line where people are packed like 50 to 100 shoulder to shoulder with knives, and each one kind of has a specific cut of the chicken that they make. Now, there's some redundancies, but you're very much expected to, if you're the breast man, you cut as many breasts as you can as those chickens.
Quarter leg man.
You're a quarter leg man. Absolutely. Your thigh, you know, your wing, whatever it is.
So it's one carcass, and it's like, blam, blam, blam. Like, each guy has a different cut off of it.
Yeah.
God,
yeah, and until at the very end, it's like you ever buy like a little Cornish hen from a grocery store that's been like it's been cooked already, barbecued or whatever, and you know like maybe like the fifth day after you bought it, and you've already picked all the good stuff on, but it's still got like meat and little things hanging off of it. Mm-hmm. That's what it is at the end.
Carcass,
you know? The carcass, the pig, like a vulture got.
Surely
to
that
it,
gets turned into like chicken stock or something.
Yeah,
like
chicken
that.
Stock, dog food, chicken nuggets, McNuggets.
Right.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you ever bite into a chicken nugget and you get that grizzly
a little tendon,
rib.
Like that
like chicken rib?
A little chicken rib in it. Just chicken cartilage.
We are trashing so many people right now. So many very powerful companies.
Yeah, right? They're probably cancel us right now. That's very regrettable.
Why won't anybody sponsor us?
And the ones I'm talking about are like all out of town.
Yeah,
run by Northerners.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yanks.
Yeah,
Yanks.
Definitely. Russians.
But when's the deboning happen?
Yeah, that's go ahead.
That is part of like the cutting process.
Okay, okay.
Yes, yeah. So you do have to have again, like I've never had my eyes on this, and now there are New York Times back in 2000 actually did a fantastic article about the chicken processing industry, and a big chunk of that article was actually an undercover New York Times reporter who worked for 2 weeks at our local processing facility.
Dang.
Yes, fantastic story. And I'm going to wrap this all. I'm actually going to be at the end of this little story here. You're going to see that I'm actually the biggest supporter of our chicken processing industry. So while it sounds like I'm talking bad right now, this is all going to wrap up with a nice little clean bow.
I love sausage, and you would be disgusted on how it's made.
I mean, yes, in reality, can we be honest with ourselves? We would be disgusted on how any meat is processed in America today.
But if somebody has a better idea of how to feed 330 million people, I'm all ears right now. Yeah. So
I mean, grass-fed beef is great.
Like, I don't know, man. It's like tofu, soy.
Yeah.
You know, expensive soy is. I listen to friggin' Scotty Woodson every day tell me how expensive damn soy is.
Yeah.
November soybean is out this out the roof.
God, and imagine this country if we were all like vegans. Like, oh man.
I mean,
green, sickly people.
This country cannot, if they want their guns, they can't get their vegans too.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to have their guns and their meat.
Yeah.
Excuse me, because God said both vegetable and meat is available for your consumption.
Like what's the idea of having guns now if you can't like hunt and eat the animal?
Yeah. You can't kill and eat the animal.
Hey, what do you mean? It's for hunting. My targeted drone strikes.
I love our recent thing on the radio. We were doing like things that you'll never hear said in a northern accent.
Yeah.
You know, or like an account.
You keep your hands off my broccolini. You see them?
Hey, man, where's my avocado toast?
You see how them tiki torches were used in Charleston? Over here, we use tiki torches like they ought to be to light lesbian weddings on the beach.
And just how you won't hear something said in a northern accent. Like, hey, man, I was driving down the highway and I saw a Prius. So I got in front of it and I rolled coal like nobody's business.
How much coal did you roll?
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Man, keep your Christianity out of my atheism.
They can come get my guns from my cold, dead hands, okay? But in any case, so you have
free abortions on every street in America.
This has to be a segment on our show now, boys.
I know.
Totally. Oh my goodness. This is so hilarious, though.
You know what other lives matter? LGBTQ+, okay?
Farm to table ain't just words around here.
That one actually works, though.
Yeah, it does. It does. It kind of does on both sides.
Man, I was in Whole Foods the other day.
Things you've never heard in the South.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh, did you see the deals that Cabela has on their ammunition right now? Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, back to the D-bone line.
Yeah, okay, D-bone.
And cutting line, whatever. So yeah, you have your processed chicken bits, okay? Yeah. And
chicken nuggets.
One of the stories I was told is one of my best friends has worked at a number of chicken processing facilities because it is, for the region of the country that we live in, it can be tremendously good money.
Yeah.
When there's very little opportunity. And it's a stable job. You know, it's going to be there tomorrow.
There's like a job.
Has a lot of value.
Right. And there's like a job for every little part.
This is what you do.
You do this one specific thing.
Absolutely. And if you can make it through basic training and show your value, like there's a lot of opportunities now he actually works for the wastewater section of a chicken processing facility. So he makes sure that the water that is released into the sewer main that is then treated by the city itself is as clean as it possibly can because of a lot of surcharges that the company can receive. That cuts into their bottom line. I mean, now he's got like licensing for it. He's like a chemist. You talk to him, the guy's cool as can be, but I mean, he is literally a scientist is what he does every day. Like dealing with caustic material. He deals with acids. He deals
with perfect balances of chemicals.
And probably with the knowledge he's gained from that, he could get another job at maybe a city or at other
that will not pay as well though.
Exactly, there are, that's what I'm saying.
That's the capture that the private industry has from, like, because he worked, he kind of got his start in wastewater treatment for a municipal government, and they unfortunately they just couldn't match the salary that the private industry provides. It's a, and honestly, private industry is desperate for that. You know, a city can afford to send somebody, because there's a lot of redundancies in government. They can afford to send somebody away for a while to get their training. A private industry, they kind of, man, they need you to be ready day one.
Yeah.
You need to come in running. True. You know, so it's that capture is very great. You have people that sometimes get, they get their foundation for government and then they go to private industry afterwards.
Right.
We know other industry that I don't know if you could say has been hurt because of the ability for the plants to pay so well. Let's say local PDs, police department, law enforcement.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
They have plucked some very good sergeants and things of that nature from PDs because they pay well.
Yeah, but pay twice as much.
Exactly. Yeah.
To think that supervising a production line at a chicken processing facility, you can earn twice as much on day one as you can after 10 years working for in law enforcement.
Exactly. Right. You know? And right. These people are protecting and serving the, you know, I don't, I'm sorry.
Putting their lives on the line every day.
Yeah, yeah.
The chicken plant.
Yeah. Chicken plant.
Yeah.
That too?
Man, I just don't. And it amazes me that, again, there's a job for every part. We know somebody who literally they transport what you described, Patrick, is just like chicken scum. That's just like
liquid
because,
chicken.
Yeah. Liquid chicken, because the chicken has now been reduced so many times, used like we're better than the Native Americans at using every bit of the thing.
Right.
Yeah. And then by the end of it, there's literally just like scum. Yeah. What else would
you
call
it? You know
it?
What makes great fertilizer?
Scum.
Right. So we're not wearing bones anymore. We're eating them in chicken nuggets. But
That's right.
It's when they turn that chicken scum into pellets that they then feed to chickens.
Ooh. Yeah,
is where sometimes the problem arises.
Chickens don't care.
Yeah, they ain't gang. What about the guy who's, that's his job? He watches the chicks and like that, right? There's a part, maybe not in the one we're talking about.
There's a hatchery. Yeah, hatcheries.
Right, but like there's a conveyor belt of chicks, and maybe this is from that video from forever. Maybe it's been, this job is done now, but it's like the chicks that come through and the ones
that
are like
here.
Yeah, that's at the hatchery.
Well, the ones that are like D and F chicks, like not A and B. You get A and B's get plucked, C's get like, eh, you know, we'll keep them. D's, okay, fine. But like the F chicks just go whoop into the...
Into the, double the grinder.
The grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is instantaneous.
Yeah.
They don't feel it.
No.
I like that you said that. What were you saying about that? About that position? It's like you only mess up if you try to save the chickens,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like your job is not to save them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, I'm not chilling. I'm not killing them. The conveyor belt is. My job is to make sure that.
Yeah, you're not getting in the way of that process.
Can you tell the story a little bit of our grandmother's rabbit farm and just, you know, the rabbits, man? They were feisty little suckers sometimes, right?
Oh,
and you were telling me about one time because our grandmother was like the nicest lady. She loved animals.
Angel. Yes.
You know, she loved animals, but they ran a rabbit farm. And what did you see one time when one bit her?
This is a bad story.
Dude, I love it. It cracks me up.
So yes, they can. Rabbits are all cute and cuddly until you enter to work inside a former chicken house that is now a 300-foot-long house that has been turned into a rabbit operation filled with thousands of rabbits that are all like biting you and scratching you, because there's a lot of handling that goes on with rabbits. You know, you can't keep females and males in the same cage, but you got to have them breed all the time, and so you know you got to carry them from one to the other. Robots haven't taken over that position yet, but I still have scars on my hands from working inside in my arms from working inside that place. Well, one day she got bit on the arm by a rabbit, and I remember it was like hanging on, like its teeth were sunk into her, and it was like hanging on. She's like slinging it around. She finally yanks it off of her, and of course you got to keep rabbits cool too. So the house is filled with 48-inch fans. And I always noticed that was like the first thing I noticed when I entered. There's no protective.
No guard?
No guard. There's no like protective thing. Like you don't trip.
No screen?
No screen. There's nothing. It's just like a.
Well, what's this over?
It's a propeller for a P-51 Mustang turned into a cooling unit. Okay. And she rips that rabbit off and just like nonchalantly slings it behind her, knowing that there's, again, this 48-inch cooling fan behind her, and throws it right in there, and just a funnel of spray comes out. There's not a piece, not a particulate left after this. That rabbit was atomized.
Spaghettified.
And I did not... I don't think I was like, hell yeah.
Right.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I don't feel good about it, but the idea of her just nonchalantly like throwing it behind her into the fan and it just liquefied it is, I can't help but laugh. That's I don't know why.
Obviously not her first time doing it.
Right. Knows exactly where it is.
Yeah. And sometimes, man, emotions get the better of us.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and she, again, they're little devils, little demons, those things, man.
You've like, seen their teeth? How many rabbit bites can you take before you chuck one into a fan?
I see a wild rabbit in the yard. I get PTSD now. Okay. Like, I remember those days, man.
They're not so cute and cuddly anymore.
They're monsters. You ever seen Holy Grail? Search for the Holy Grail, Monty Python? Yeah. Man.
He can leap about. What his teeth are.
All right, stop it. Okay, seriously.
I'm scared.
Oh, man. Now, my favorite thing, when I first moved here and started learning about the local industry, the local chicken manufacturing production plant, whatever, is I would fill out credit applications for people to buy furniture. Right. And, you know, get them in and... All right, you know, so what do you make? Blah, blah, blah. Well, where do you work? Okay, what's your job description? He's like, freeze pack, live hang, debone, and then even one like chicken catcher. I'm like, man, I don't know if I can write chicken catcher on this. Like, I don't know if I can write this on like this official form.
Man,
like,
you make some good money catching chickens.
I know it.
But I knew a guy who was a hero of the chicken catching industry. Yeah? He could catch 5 in each hand. Which is, you only have 4 spaces in between your 5 fingers, okay?
But this is a nice big one, right?
You can double it. Yeah. So, and he got paid extra for that. Like, he was like a hero among it.
10 per.
Like, just reach into a herd of them and then pull out 5?
They bring a mobile wall, and you keep funneling down. Because a modern chicken house is going to have like 20,000 chickens in it. And again, it starts off quite easy because they're all packed in there. But then as you more and more you grab, you funnel them into a corner with this mobile wall until it's just a sea of chickens, you know?
Like so you moving white waves.
Yeah. You grab your hand in, and yes, you're going to pull chickens out.
Yeah, and like from what I could gather, because the place where we moved the furniture store to, that parking lot is where they park, and they'll go for like 4 days on like this chicken catching excursion. It's not like you go to work and then get to go home that day. You like work 4 days, you're off a week or something, and you get paid extremely well.
Right.
But like you can tell the mentality of them getting into the van to go to work. And because again, I would smoke at like 7 in the morning. That's when they would leave and also come back 4 days later, be outside smoking, and they'd be coming back just like. Like as if they came back from war.
Yeah.
Like all the 1,000-yard stare and all getting into their nice vehicles.
Right.
You know, that they park all right there because this is white van. This like nondescript van pulls up and they, you know, 10 people jump out of it.
That's
funny.
So, folks who want to criticize what the chicken processing industry, again, that want to criticize our food supply industry in this country, they lack imagination, really.
Right.
I think is that, as I mentioned earlier, come on. Up with a way to feed billions of people across this planet, and I'm all ears for you.
I find that the people that are crying the most about cows not being treated properly, goats not being treated properly, natural food sources for humans, they're the ones that worry more about a dog than a baby.
You know
what I'm saying? Yeah. They care more about an animal than an actual human being.
And at the end of the day, I can understand that. But it should not get in your emotions of what you care about more or not should not get in the way of the way that it's handled, basically.
What can you understand?
I can understand that you like animals more than people. I don't like people. I like animals.
I said babies, though. Adults, yeah, I can get that.
Especially babies.
I can
little
get that.
Alien,
babies
are snotty, like, you know, I'd rather hold a puppy than a baby any day. But what I mean is your emotions should not get in the way of how you say want the process to be held. If you care more about a chicken than a person, like, ultimately, I guess, fine, whatever. But at the end of the day, the chicken is being killed so that somebody gets to eat it and somebody gets to be paid
Absolutely.
For killing it. So if you're going to cry about the chicken and think that the whole process should be different, shouldn't you then maybe also cry about the people losing their jobs and the entire chicken manufacturing industry?
Yeah, no doubt. Where are those people going to go?
Yeah, if chicken processing just totally changed or shut down, just no more, this town would die.
For the record, a baby and a puppy are both equally helpless. So if you care more about a puppy than a baby, you're a garbage human being to me.
Oh, that's nice to know what you think about me.
Absolutely. Totally.
I totally take your point, for sure.
If there's a puppy and a baby in the street and you run out and snatch and save the puppy over the baby, you're a garbage human being.
I'm not putting my life in front of for either of them. Just on a limb saying that.
One thing, and we kind of had this conversation a little bit last night, and is to go back to the importance of the jobs, you know, and it is certainly no, I don't think it's stereotypical or anything to say that that at least in this part of the country, the chicken processing industry, a lot of the food production is really reliant upon immigrant labor. And I have talked to folks who, you know, more or less fresh off the boat, just been here a few years, you know, working at a local poultry processing facility, and they absolutely love the job.
Right.
I mean, they might work 8, 10, 12 hours a day on debone, but they know they have a job to come back to tomorrow. They get to bring home so much money from it, and they just absolutely love it's probably not for me. It's not probably not for any of us here, but it always struck me to hear folks who, again, have come from places where, again, you're most likely your family was struggling just to grow enough food to survive day to day.
Yeah.
And now they have a job where they can provide for their family here. They can provide for, they can send money back home. They can put money away. And just for that simple fact, if anything, they enjoy their job.
Let me point out. It's only not for me because I can't handle that job.
Oh, absolutely.
Not because of the animals or whatever.
Right, right, right.
It's because I couldn't stand there and do the same thing over and over again. Just my physical makeup does not allow it.
Absolutely. Right. And I think for more native born Americans, it's not for them. And that's why you see it's, I'll just say, I know I'm not going to throw any names out, but I mean, our local production facility, they need 100 people a day.
Yeah.
And they're offering $2,500 sign on bonuses. They're offering way above minimum wage, you know, and they still can't get enough people to apply. And they're so reliant upon, honestly, from folks from the third world to fill their factory lines. And again, it's just amazing to me to how decadent, we were kind of talking a little bit about this last week, how decadent, how spoiled we are in America, where we need immigrants to actually feed the nation.
Right.
We have to rely on people from somewhere else to keep our bellies full.
Yeah.
And these people, they're not like begrudgingly going to work every day. They're just thrilled to have a job. Yeah. I mean, just, it's the simple things that we kind of like failed to appreciate over time. You know, they're all for it. And so to have somebody, again, to have somebody who works 10 hours a day on debone tell me that they love their job.
Yeah,
I mean, that's, I don't know, I'm jealous. I'm jealous of that mentality.
Yeah, the ability to love your job in that situation.
Yeah,
because I love my job.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm not jealous because I do love my job also.
Right.
But yeah, I agree. If I could sit still and do the same thing 8 hours straight, I would be able to do a lot more things better than I can today.
It's almost like a love for your job in spite of the job itself.
Right.
It's like what the job means. Like, I don't know.
It's like pizza delivery when I did that.
Yeah. Speaking of like a hard job, man, we got to give a shout out. We've been really rough on some Easy Mart employees, big time.
Yeah,
you know, we've definitely been giving them the business, as they say. But there God is one them. Dude over there. God bless him. There's one of them over there who works like 18 hours a day. He's a fine man.
Yeah, I'm asking what his name is tomorrow.
There you go, and then you'll forget it. But you know, he's a he's a good guy. He doesn't, you know, butt in. He's fairly
professional.
Professional. Mm-hmm. And shout out to him for the 18 hours a day. Because, I mean, I couldn't imagine. I mean, especially in Easy Mart, that is... You're going to be dealing with a lot of... You're like a proctologist. A lot of assholes all day.
Oh, man.
Talk about the 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah.
Coming off an 18-hour day.
Yeah. At an Easy Mart, just coming off being like, man, nothing you could tell me would surprise me.
People just about fighting out in the front.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
We about visualized one of those this morning.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Could you imagine like what he sees when he walks into the bathroom after it being all night? And just like...
After the beast. After
but do they even clean those, though?
Ah, man, I don't know. I don't know. Like, just going in, just a hose. Just spray down the hole. There's a drain in the middle of the floor.
And this guy, too, like, he's the manager of this one, so he's salary. So, of course, that means he could work 80 hours a week.
He gets taken advantage of.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's something else we were talking about on the podcast a few episodes ago was just how much people can be taken advantage of through the service industry. Whereas, let's say you do work for a chicken processing facility, you work for a factory, you get paid for every second that you're there.
Right.
You know, a place like a service industry, they stick you on salary, quote unquote, make you a manager, and just literally take advantage of you every way they can. This guy's working 18 hours a day, day after day, you know, to keep this place running because he can't find good help. Now, he did say he got an email from the CEO of Easy Mart saying, good job. And my thought was just like, don't take that as a reward. That's nothing, man.
He told you that?
I would think Easy Mart, being the big corporation that it is, would have to follow some sort of guidelines when it comes to comp time.
Yeah, so there was a federal law passed a few years back, right? That but there's some industries, I think convenience stores, and I know that dealerships got to
see how that.
Yeah, service advisors, which both Tyler and I have done. I was really excited when that law came out because at one point at the dealership, when I was totally commissioned, I might be working 60 hours a week.
Right, right. That'd be 20 hours each week of comp time.
Absolutely, of some kind of additional
whether
compensation
it be pay or hours off or whatever.
Yes,
that would have been amazing.
Yeah,
but the dealerships have a very powerful lobby, or the automotive industry has a very powerful lobby, and they quashed that before. That was one of the few exemptions. Said no, dealership service employees are not counted.
Well, yeah, it's
but you get paid well in the service industry.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So it's,
you get paid what you put in.
You do get paid what you put in.
You can't sit there for 11 hours not putting in.
No,
I mean, it's not just time spent.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the worst part.
It's like working at a restaurant and making minimum wage. Ooh, you know, that means you're not doing something right. Like, because of course, minimum wage is like $2.15. My wife was a waitress and she did phenomenally well at it. And but she also had coworkers who were like sometimes Caitlin would get a check where she owed money to the business because again, if you get paid $2.15 an hour, eventually your taxes, it got her count, her tips were counted as part of her wages, obviously,
that's
and the
crazy.
Taxes. Would have to be taken out of that
out of the tips
as well, but that's only only because she was doing that well with tips
and she was being honest
and she was being honest, absolutely. But she had like coworkers who were like, oh, I got a $200 check this week. Dude, that means you didn't do anything.
Exactly.
Like, that means you made no tips and you did a very bad job. You should find other employment.
Yeah, that's how I wonder about some of the waitresses I see around our area. You know, we went out for some lunch recently. And clearly a new person there. And they started. So, by the way, OK, let's just go over it again. We were eating lunch at one of the local establishments, which I think we've talked about it on the podcast before. But I talked with somebody from Tyler, Texas yesterday,
ooh,
which Tyler's getting pretty big from the sound.
Growing.
Of it. It's a big one.
It's going to be Dallas before long.
It's the
that's
next Austin.
Exactly what she said. Mm-hmm. She was actually the lady who sold you your.
Yeah.
But she was. So I was talking
Robert's
to
daughter.
Robert's daughter. I was over there.
Great. Fantastic.
She was awesome. And she was really cool to talk to. And she was like, when I'm in the big city, I miss the country. When I'm in the, and now I'm moved back to the country and I miss the big city and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, I miss the places to eat, you know, around here and this and that. And she was, what did she say? I brought up a really, and she was even like, that's a really good point. What was it about? Oh, she was like, you'd think in a smaller town, you'd get better service and better food. And I said, it's actually the opposite. In a,
we know why too.
Yeah.
For sure.
In a big town, if you go to a restaurant and get bad service and bad food, you're going to I'm never going back there. I've got 100 choices, absolutely, and I'll leave a Yelp review and this and that.
And if you love that particular type of restaurant, you can go across town and go to the same restaurant.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You go to
exactly.
Dallas, there's 100 Jamaican vegan restaurants.
Exactly. Right.
Jerk tofu.
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm disgusted and titillated at the same time.
So, and I'm like, no, no, no. In the small town, there's only ever one option.
Yeah.
So it's like you right. want to go like, you know what? This is terrible service. It's like, good. Where are you going to go?
Yeah. Right.
You're going to drive an hour this way or that way for the next greasy spoon?
You boycott them for 2 weeks and then you go back.
Yeah, there's exactly. There's nothing. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And they almost find bad service. It's like hokey.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's cutesy. Oh. You know? Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Have fun me tipping you 2 pennies.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my gosh.
How much fun is that?
When I go to a restaurant, not because I'm a good person. I'm a guilty person, mm-hmm. you know, so I always
You're
leave a tipper.
I'm a tipper.
I'm a good tipper.
I was with Tyler at this particular establishment, which shall not be named, but anyone listening who has been to it will probably instantly recognize where we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler left 2 pennies. He's like, here's my 2 cents. That is your tip. But it was atrocious.
I feel one way and the other about that. So at one hand, it's just a person trying to do their job, and I don't want to think that it's upon us to have a little tribunal at the end of the frickin' meal and deem whether the service is tip
right,
worthy.
Right.
You know, just tip.
Yeah.
Right. But then on the other hand, the service was so bad.
It's a learning experience for the employee, right? And that's why I was joking with you the other day, and anybody who's like played Fallout or maybe Skyrim or some of those other games, there's like speech checks you have to do before you can do something.
Yeah.
Maybe there should be a speech or a charisma check before you're like a waitress. Like, let's talk to you for just a second, a waiter or a waitress and a serving staff
Your
member.
Speech is 10 out of 100.
Yeah, like this is not the job for you.
Well, sorry,
I'm going to save you a lot of trouble.
Maybe bringing people food should be more of a hobby.
Whereas I was great at the charisma part, I could talk to the people all day. I just couldn't remember what the crap they ordered.
Yeah. Yeah. Remembrance check.
Yeah. A couple of checks. Yeah. A couple of, don't just, if you own a restaurant, don't just hire any bum that comes off the
That's
street,
right.
okay? Because it's going to harm your business in the long run. Unless maybe you go with that mentality, like you're like, it's a hostage situation.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to go?
Where?
What are you, what are you going to do?
I'm so sorry. You're going to be back for your cowboy fries next week. I know it.
Yeah, right.
And so I went to a Texas Roadhouse in Flagstaff, and I'm not even joking. It's Texas Roadhouse, okay? I'm not pretending like it's this amazing place. We go there so we could drink and have cheap steak, right?
Yeah, right, right.
And the waiter gave us the best service. I mean, I'm telling you. And we gave him such crap. His name was Brad. So, like, we immediately were like, what's your name,
Thanks,
man? Brad.
Brad.
Yeah, and we kept doing that and be like, that's one step up from Chad and all this. And he was, and this dude knew exactly what we were doing. He just...
He rolled with it?
He played it.
He slipped the punches. He stayed in the pocket. And that dude walked away with a $100 tip.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah. For
Absolutely.
One table.
One table.
Yeah, and that's what...
And we called the manager over when he was there. We were like, manager, come over. And we're like, you need to fire this kid. This kid is, you know, not... Totally joking.
Right, right.
And the manager was like, I know, we've had a lot of complaints. Big smile on her face.
Right.
Totally joking around.
Yeah.
He was feeding us alcohol. He just knew exactly. This kid was like 19.
Awesome.
You know, that kid.
He was built for it.
He's going somewhere.
Problem is, he'll be a general manager pretty soon
and not be serving
anybody
exactly.
anymore.
No, he's going to own a Fortune 500 company
at
some point.
Yeah, shout out Brad if you're listening from Texas Roadhouse and Flagstaff from 3 years ago, bro. Like,
thank you, Brad. Bad.
You gave me the best service. You gave me so many cocktails, I don't remember what your face looks like.
But I mean, that's doing your job well. And when, again, like Caitlin, she was a fantastic waitress. And she would make, I mean, it would be like, she'd go to work for 4 hours and come home with $400-$600 sometimes. One night, like $800.
And singles, right?
She's a stripper. She'd be getting 20s and stuff, too. Yeah, or even a $100 bill here and there. And it's just like, again, she knew what she was doing. She could take the crap. She could capitalize off the good moments and not just do it.
And she was a female. That did help.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she utilized her assets. I'm just saying that right, does definitely help.
Yeah. Although I have heard from I have a couple of friends who were serving staff, and they said that by and large they did better collecting tips than the female, because sometimes the women would try to hustle it up a little bit, whereas a guy had to work for every second of it because he doesn't have the same assets, you know.
But you get three tables.
Politically correct way. That was amazing.
Absolutely. You get three tables like that where you fed them just enough cocktails. They're loving your service. Mm-hmm. Then just because you have those assets gives you that extra little bit of a tip.
Oh yeah.
And I'm
telling you, this dude was amazing.
That's awesome.
And you know, let's say it's 15 at Texas. It's Texas Roadhouse, so it's $15 a head for food. We probably each ordered $20-$30 worth of cocktails. I gave him $100. I don't even know how much Kyle or the people I was with gave them. You know, so he probably walked away with at least $150 to $200 tip. Because and we were there for like 3 hours, by the way.
And that's on about $1,000, maybe, give or take.
What's that?
A total that you saw about $100 tip. Was it on about what was the ticket?
Oh, the ticket was like $80, maybe $100.
Nice.
Because I pulled out $100. I carried a lot of hundreds with me with that job because I actually didn't have a bank account, so I was cashing.
Large
three,
checks.
Four right. grand
Jeez,
checks
not
and
paying
hundreds.
Taxes, don't have a bike. Yeah. Can't ride a bike.
Can't ride a bike. Yeah, exactly. No don't account. Even really have a technically a driver's license.
If you didn't have a social security number at this point.
Nope. Where's my birth certificate? Up my ass.
In
I don't know.
Hawaii.
Yeah. You
know? And I can promise you that's why Sevier County, the county that either we live in or work in, recently became wet. Mm-hmm. And some of the folks that were the biggest behind it were the restaurant owners around here because they knew they're not going to have to pay their employees crap now because they're going to liquor up their customers and the customers are going to pay their employees. Mm, so.
Man, but around here, you get enough guys like me where mm-hmm. I'm like, again, I hate having the meeting at the end. Like, well, she didn't bring the water. She didn't
the
refill
Grand
my water. Yes.
Let's talk about that part. Is it too much to ask the industry as a whole to pay their wait staff a livable wage and allow the people that are patroning the establishment pay a tip on a true great job, or not have to pay a tip if there was no job done? Great.
If you don't mind.
Yes, please.
So I look at a tip-worthy job the same way as commission. Basically, let's take my service advisor position. I had to work really freaking hard to make sure that my paycheck was good. If I didn't, and I didn't try and sell, and I just took oil changes and didn't upsell or anything like that, I would get paid probably about less than minimum, or I guess right
minimum
at minimum wage.
Right. Like the person worked at McDonald's drive-through, just taking orders.
Right.
If that's all you did, you get paid like one.
And that's not hourly. I would just get 40 hours of minimum wage for 60 hours of work, you know, because I was there 11 hours, not 9 to 11 hours a day, easy. Yeah. And
5-6 days a week.
Yeah, and that's the way it was. You'd do 6 days, and then the next week you'd have 2 days off, and then the next week it was 6 days, mm-hmm. and then the next week it was 2 days off.
But you're mincing salaried and hourly employee problems there, right?
I was not salaried. I was commission-based.
But then you're getting paid hourly for 60 hours a week, not...
No, not for 60. I get paid 40.
It's like a third thing. You know, your salary, hourly, and then like 100% commission.
Yeah.
Because you might make 1 hour, you might make $1,000. The next hour, you make zero.
You're 100% commission.
Pretty much. So if I didn't, so basically the way that works is at the dealership I worked at, there was a what's called a draw. Mm. And this is amount of money that's guaranteed to you.
Right. What sales departments here get.
Okay.
Unless
you don't make that,
and
you could
you
get a paycheck where you owe the dealership. So
I guess that's not like here.
the reason that I'm not getting paid 11 hours of minimum wage is because two or maybe three of those hours of my own volition to stay there. Mm. Service would end at 5, but I'd stay till 6:30 because I was getting the next day ready. I was making sure I was like calling customers. I was calling parts stores and
critical component of the job.
That's supposed to be done during your minimum wage hours that you're working. Again, that would never happen because it's commission based. I would make a buttload of money.
It's but, like a sales. You think a salesman? He's only gonna he or she's only gonna make a sale. You know, make money if they're selling vehicles.
Right.
Which maybe you sell some days. Maybe you you know, a good friend of mine was a salesman, and there were plenty of days where he literally made nothing. He was up there 8-9 hours a day and didn't make a cent.
Right.
You know, but that's just again that sales slash service environment. You got to sell to make money, you know.
So let me try and break this down again. Let's start with the waiting then. So if you're not making any tips, you're making minimum wage, right?
Yeah, which is different for a wait staff.
$2.13 an hour.
Yeah. Right, right. So with a commission-based job, you're making just minimum wage, which that amount of minimum wage, you're only getting paid 8 hours for an 11-hour day.
Let's call
you're
$10 an hour.
Let's call
minimum
$10.
Wage $10
an hour. Okay. $10 an hour.
But that's only going towards your draw.
Like exactly.
If you're 100% commission, you're not even getting minimum wage. You're,
no.
You could literally be getting nothing.
You could be getting a negative balance and owing the dealership back.
If you're 100% commission, I understand that part. That's also being like a contract labor. There's no taxes drawn out because you're paying it at the end of the year. You're paying your own taxes, period. If you sign up for 100% commission, you know 1 week you may not get a single dollar.
Right, but that's why the dealership guarantees you a certain amount of money. Like you will make or possibly depending on how much you draw, how much your draw is, you might end up owing money. But I worked there the first 2 months I was there because I didn't have the customer base. They guaranteed me amount of money.
Yeah.
And then
you didn't actually technically owe anything.
I didn't.
At the end of the month.
Right, I did not.
But the draw is designed to be so low that it's just like you just breathing. You're going to make that much money for the company.
Exactly.
So.
I got you.
Like there's almost, you could have the lowest amount of motivation in a service advisor position that was paid like mine, and you're going to make more than your draw.
Yeah.
Like
it might be like $300 a week or something.
Right.
You know?
Right. Okay. So basically what I'm saying, and ultimately I don't agree with the fact that they're going to get paid chips if they don't make tips.
Gotcha.
Right. But I have worked that job
where
I'm working, I'm slaving 11 hours a day, slaving. It's a dumb word. I'm working really hard 11 hours a day and only getting paid minimum wage for 8 of them.
Right.
While if I'm actually selling and doing a bunch, then I'm making a buttload of money. Same as waitresses. Yeah, you're only getting paid $2.60, whatever it is. But if you're really good and you're killing it, like you just said, Caitlin coming home with like $400 or $500 in a night, that can happen for you if you're that good. So commission is almost as like,
it's a double-edged sword, for sure.
And same with tips. Same with if you sign on to that type of job, it's the way it is.
Yeah,
that's the best way to say it.
I wasn't actually even talking about the side for the employee. I was talking about for the customer. I mean, if the restaurant would pay a quote-unquote living wage, whatever they determine that to be, then my tip could be just that.
Yeah.
A tip for good service. At this point, it is an addition to your income.
Yeah, you're buying the food and you're paying the employee.
And paying the salary. And I understand that going in. I'm not saying that I shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there are companies, national brands, that pay their employees minimum wage and allow them their tips.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I almost feel like that started not with the corporations, but with the customers initially, because tip-worthy jobs came from, like, let's go all the way back to Rome. Let's say you got whatever, the gold piece a day, or not even, like, whatever piece a day that you got for work and sweeping up or bringing a drink to a guy. Not that, I don't know, freaking Rome, I don't know anything about it, but let's just use that as an example.
Fixing chairs.
Yeah. No. Let's say you were Socrates sitting at a table and dude kept, you know, you're going to want to slip. You're drunk. You're feeling good. You're going to want to give to the dude who's actually not to the corporate, not to the dude who owns the bar. Like you never even saw him.
You know, he's getting all the beer money. Yeah,
the way tips are now is almost probably the fault of a customer for being like, you know, and then the manager's watching is like, you know what? They keep getting these tips. I'm going to pay him less. I'm going to pay them less because people keep giving them tips, you know? So it's kind of our fault as a customer, because what's better than Brad serving me cocktail after cocktail, laughing at my joke, saying, yeah, my name's terrible, and making fun, bringing his manager over and poking fun out of him in front of the manager and blah, 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 and he walks away with $100 that he did not have, and he does not have to give any to Texas Roadhouse.
Right.
You know, that's my fault that the fact that Brad is now set up on that
Mr.
system.
Roadhouse looking through the window that's like up on the second story looking down, just like, I'm paying these people too much.
But your whole
argument is totally
wrong,
totally invalid because Socrates was Athenian.
My bad. Well, I'm sure he spent a little time there. No, traveled there, had a little extracurricular activity with some of the soldiers or something.
They fast a lot. I don't know.
Athenian.
From
Athens. Greece.
Athenian. My bad.
But and you definitely
I'm an
raised,
idiot. I'm a complete dummy.
No, you're right. I am.
But it raised some good points there. And to me, I've thought about it a lot, and I'm a very indecisive person to begin with, and I don't know, I have a hard time. I'm like, I understand why restaurants are designed the way they are. And now you go to Europe, there's no tipping. Like, you leave money on the table, people will be like, oh, hey, the wait staff's going to run back to you and be like, you left this $20 bill on the table.
Well, that's for you, man.
Yeah, no, they just pay people living wage over there.
Yeah. Hey, and if you're a waiter listening or something like that, more than just getting a gizmo, shout out, let us know. What would you rather?
We'll come eat there.
No matter where it's at. Would you rather get paid tips or would you rather get paid a regular just wage?
Let us know. But yeah. I did read an interesting story, of course, on the New York Times, but that said that the restaurant tipping system actually breeds racism in the United States. And I thought it was interesting. And that is, there is a stereotype, a myth out there that black people tip less than white people or anybody else. So there's some documented incidents where black people go into a restaurant, they get worse service. Because again, as a service advisor, you have to learn which customers to take, which to not. A waiter is going to see like, oh man, I just had some black people sit in my section. I'll get somebody else to take care of them because it's just going to be a waste of my time.
I just won't spend as much time.
Or I won't spend as much time. Yeah, I won't check their drinks as often. Right. You know, I'm not so worried how quick their food gets out to them.
They're not going to quote unquote tip me anything.
Yeah, it wasn't matter. I see what you're saying. You know,
It's almost like for the sake of white people, I want to say no. You just shouldn't talk about it.
And but then are for you the racist sake, for thinking
yes,
that?
Yes, yeah, and then exactly. For the sake of black people, it's like, well, maybe we should just be honest with each other. Like, wow. I don't know. I don't know. Don't know.
Sorry, I interrupted every time with my wow. But seriously, I don't know. Wow, you should be honest with each other.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment.
Yeah, yeah. This is all.
I like honesty. I don't see why we can't address that.
Yeah, no.
In case anyone's listening, Lindley is black, so this is totally fine to say.
1/16.
Yeah,
we all are. Okay, people. Yeah.
Pacific Islander.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, getting back to the main. Or no, please.
No. I was going to take it off a whole different tangent.
Okay.
So
hold on to that one.
We want that tangent. Yeah. We do.
Getting back to the main point is that the other day we were eating lunch at a place that is holding us hostage in town locally. Terrible service, like subpar food, blah, 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 the whole nine.
Thank you for circling this wagon.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, we got to drive. We're lazy.
Do we love the employers and the management? That's the only place that's available.
Yeah, I've never met them. Don't care about them.
The food's decent enough, I guess.
Okay. It's passable. That's what I keep saying.
So the chef is decent, then.
If we had a Waffle House here, we'd be there. Yeah. Okay.
If he didn't come out of that kitchen wearing that putrid apron and like the towel over the shoulder like he's Gordon Ramsay.
Putrid is a green, right? Is a form of green.
There is green.
Yellow, brown, black.
Yeah.
Just all the less flattering colors.
The rainbow of vomit.
Or baby poop.
Yeah, that too.
I love it.
So we're sitting there, and she comes up, and she's new, and she speaks very awkwardly and weird and stilted and this and that. And so we finally order, and we're sitting there. We'll probably let a few minutes go by before she just comes up to the table. She's actually not even at the table. She's like halfway up to the table before she kind of like yells out like to Patrick, "Do you want another menu?"
Yeah, that's how she, again, we've ordered like 10 minutes before. Yeah, and she comes with arm extended, menu in hand, racing towards our table. "Do you want another menu?" And I was like, am I a ghost? Did she think she forgot me?
What part in this transaction have I eaten already?
Yeah.
Have I?
I was stunned. Like, I was just like, I was confused time and space. I didn't know where I was there for a second.
And you had ordered the Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're out of filler meat.
Filament?
Well,
you said filler meat.
That's what I was like, filler meat?
Yeah.
I was like, you don't have like a circus animal back there or something you could hack up? No, Philly meat.
Philly meat.
And,
Philly meat.
Of course, the first thing that you just said, you want another menu?
Yeah.
Like, so not dumb. Not come up and say, I'm so sorry. The chef has just informed me that we are out of the meat that is particular to your sandwich.
Yes.
No.
Context. No menu?
No menu?
And it's bro. I thought I ordered. We're out of filler meat.
Yeah.
Filler meat.
You know, and then
they weren't deboning earlier.
That's right.
All right.
So we get him another menu. Not even. You're just like, okay, burger. You know, fine.
Yeah. And you got then, that?
With all the filler meat you want.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, she never visits. After bringing the food, there was no visit. There was none of that.
She don't work there no more, does she?
No, she does.
This was like yesterday or the day before or something.
What?
Yeah, this is 2 days ago. And which, by the way, we record this on a Wednesday. It's the 7th. So
yeah, I love
this just week. For, you know, we'll keep you updated. Maybe she won't be there next week.
Yeah.
But when we're cashing out, you know, Kyle, who's new to this area, new resident, he's like, this is his first time eating there, and he just asks her. She's checking us out and whatnot. Right. And he just asks her, like, so what's your favorite thing to eat here? And she's like, me.
Me?
That's what I thought I heard. Yeah.
Me?
She definitely
Was she hitting on him?
I don't know. She definitely left the last consonant of that word off, right?
I was like, you're a little hefty to be eating yourself. Yeah. Do you have a rib removed or something?
No. Beet. Beet.
Meat.
Yeah, and I'm like, what kind of meat? Like, but like, do you just a steak or just like meat, like raw in a bowl?
Yeah.
Like what?
Hamburger meat?
Yeah. What is he talking about? And it's like, you'd think she's new. Okay. Cause we were there. I've not seen her there before. Yeah. And, you know, you'd think new person in the company would be like, the special particularly today or tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow's special is my favorite. And they maybe we'll get you back for lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
Nope.
You're a salesperson, though. That's, you actually know these things.
I guess so.
I think, and it started, I asked her, I was like, I saw a thing that was like, it was like, here's our list of fried pies. And I asked her, I was like, come on, honestly, are the fried pies any good? I have a very high bar for fried pies.
Yeah, yeah.
We do. We live in the
connoisseur.
South.
Yes, absolutely. And she was like, I don't really eat those.
Yeah.
And that's when Kyle was like, so what is your favorite thing on the menu?
Meat.
Get a different job.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
Absolutely. Charisma check failed.
I mean,
and you can't save reload.
What are you doing here?
You can't save and reload in real life.
No. Yeah, and you've lost. Game over.
Yeah. There is no respawn for you. Yeah.
And then he was saying, like, you like looked at that day's special. It was soup.
No way.
Like what the chunks of old meat floating in dishwater? Is that the that the soup of du jour?
I was guessing it's not soup de poisson, not minestrone.
Soup.
Yeah.
Whatever can the chef decides to open is what the soup du jour is.
The soup du jour today is chili, okay?
It's what it was yesterday. What it is tomorrow.
That's right.
And just, I'm like, where's the owner? Like, if the owner could have been a fly on the wall or listening in on the other side of the wall or something, surely, like, would have come around and been like, oh, hey, our fried pies are great. Hey, this is, like Tyler was saying, this is our special tomorrow night.
Meat.
Just like, but that's the thing is, like, young people, I mean, we're young. Young people don't know how to interact with other young people nowadays. Mm-hmm. It seems like, I don't know if she thought that we think that would be cool. Like, oh yeah, you're just into meat.
Tofu.
We wanted to know what was good on the menu. We're here. Okay,
right. Not whether your preference of like what is it, taco meat or what is it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what's the best meat? The country ribs, a steak, pork chop. Just cold cuts on a plate with
bologna.
Yeah, for bologna. What is it?
Anything. I just don't like bread.
I don't like bread.
Yeah. I don't like bread.
Who the freak doesn't like bread?
Who doesn't like bread?
I don't like bread. I don't drink water.
She's a commie. Yeah.
All I ever hear from people is like, I love bread, but I can't eat it. I'm going today. I'm going by Pilgrims. I'm gonna grab an application. I'm gonna run it down here. It's just like, you might want to consider this.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? In that, you're not gonna move out of boot camp. This is where you are for you're forever running this obstacle.
Yeah.
Until
serving
you mess
the
up.
Chicken line. Yeah. Serving people is not where you're at.
Yeah.
No.
For sure. Just fall asleep face first into the raw chicken pile. That's
That's when you get fired.
And, or defaced.
Yeah, defaced. Oh, yeah, I work in deface. And I met somebody who was like a line production manager, yeah. Like line manager from there. And he said that he punched a dude in the face once, like knocked him out, and he still worked there. So it's if you're of the slightest bit of value.
Yeah. You just show up.
You show up, buddy.
You just show up, buddy.
How else you think sometimes you're going to keep like 100 people in line? On the line.
Yeah.
You might have to
knock one out too.
Right.
Well, it wasn't alive animals, but we recently toured a manufacturing
yeah. in America.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It was actually fascinating. But the worst part is that we finished up. This was actually like a live remote that we went. We get paid to go out there and do the thing and broadcast from there and say a bunch of good stuff. Great place, by the way. Fun place. It was super fun. But they were offering tours of the facility, and we're like, okay, for potential job applicants, absolutely, or some learning opportunities. Yeah. Oh, what's it like inside this place? So we're like, oh yeah, we'll take the tour.
Neither one of us had really seen the inside of the plant. Yeah.
Mysterious, exactly. Right?
The outside of the building's phenomenal looking.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's very modern and
huge.
Yeah.
Massive. So we're like, of course, you know, we got a little bit of time, right? So she comes in. She's like, or she brings us into that little conference room. You guys watch this video for just a little bit.
We thought it was like a 30-second video.
Yeah, 30-second. It was like 3 minutes. And then she comes in and is like, okay, you guys are all finished up. So the tour is going to take about a half hour. And we're like... So she's dragging the whole group because it was like it was going in groups,
you know?
And like we're trailing behind the whole group.
And she's like, no. We'll take you on a quick tour.
Quick tour.
Okay.
Yeah. So she ended up taking us through the quick tour, which was a full tour. It kind of was.
But it was kind of minimized on the verbal part of it.
Right. Wasn't stopping at everything. Right. And
is that when y'all ate that little the little jelly bean you weren't supposed to, and you blew up real big? You turned blue and you like floated into the sky.
Got stuck in a tube.
Yeah. I was mad. Y'all are like a couple of kids in Charlie's Chocolate Factory.
You got it.
Willy Wonka.
There. Yeah. Willy Wonka. Yeah. Yeah. The only place where like child death is totally funny.
Oh, yeah.
Many of them just kept. Oh, well, play the flute. Doo 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 doo. And then it's a dead child.
Then they're abducted.
Back to the Oompa Loompas in this podcast.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Brought it full circle here.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, taking a tour of that facility and seeing some good American manufacturing and assembly.
Getting a hard on. Dude. Just thinking about it.
Yeah, the console raised 6 inches.
6 mil.
Making stuff in the United States.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yes.
Sounds good. So
I'm buying myself a steak just hearing about this.
I like it.
Remember the other couple podcasts ago we were talking about that Facebook post I saw that was, what even is Kansas? You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, if you ask that, what even is Arkansas? Let me take you on a tour of what Arkansas is. It's freaking people working really hard.
Yeah.
Mm. Harder than you've ever worked. The hardest you ever worked was the milk didn't froth properly for the latte.
Wi-Fi was down that one day.
Go screw. You would never. I would wash out in the production line of that facility.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And you would, Mrs. Who even is Kansas or what even is Kansas or whatever.
Arkansas is a place, like you said, people work hard, but then they also play hard.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, people know how to have fun in this place.
Yeah, they work 11 hours hard and then they hop on the side by side and tear up the mud.
I was going to say, this morning we were talking about some mudding.
Yeah.
It's going to be done.
That's
done
right.
Locally.
And then are they a little bit predisposed to some racist tendencies? Sure.
Yeah. It can't all be good.
It can't all be great.
Oh, my goodness. Probably a flag that shouldn't be flown.
Yeah, it's fine.
There.
Making fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, darsh.
Well, hey, thoughts and prayers for Matt Gaetz. If I can just say this real quick before.
First time those terms have been put together.
I would rather say thoughts and prayers go out to DMX.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Hard segue.
All right.
Guys, before we end this, I just got to say, how the mediocre have fallen.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
How long you been watching Matt Gaetz eat grass?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, right?
Now people get to realize it.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, you got these allegations come out in the New York Times that he was supposedly, like, Some sexual interaction.
Like a groomer, isn't he? Basically.
Yeah, maybe grooming a 17-year-old, taking her across state lines and stuff. Less than honorable intentions.
Allegedly.
Involved. Allegedly. Very much allegedly. This is the New York Times. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's not the word of God.
They'll
here
blow it up every once in a while.
And some other reporting allegations, reports and such that the guy's as scummy as he looks. Okay. Yeah. Never liked the guy. And politics, his politics, very small part of that. I just looking at him, he looks like a Nazi that was like maybe frozen in the 1940s and then thawed out in 2017 to like run, you know, be in American politics. He also looks a lot like that guy, the character, Frank Doubleday's character in Escape from New York, Romero. All right, look it up.
Yep, and look it up.
Like,
Google it.
Yeah, absolutely. You're gonna be like, "That's Matt Gaetz." Sorry, Frank.
Never
Double
saw
Day,
that in his acting credits.
Yeah, no doubt. Sorry, Doubleday. Matt Gaetz creepier though. Yeah, I say that. Okay. Read some reporting today that that Gaetz was trying to maybe get a preemptive pardon from President Trump before he left office.
Yes.
So I do remember seeing a clip of Gaetz on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox News, voicing his support for Trump to pardon anybody, everybody that he wanted to. It was just kind of like, he should give a pardon to Jared, should give a pardon to Ivanka, maybe a pardon to Bannon, Lil Wayne, me too, you know, anybody else he wants to, you know.
Did he say Joe Exotic?
Joe Exotic. I think that's what he definitely said. Joe Exotic for sure.
And, Mr. Gaetz.
Yeah, and that guy too. You know, he's a good guy.
Hey, I can see the future.
Yeah. So it's gonna say he's talking about he ain't gonna resign or something. He will. This is just he's got quite a crescendo building against him, and I just say. Good riddance.
Good riddance
to you, sir.
All right.
So wonder where are the QAnons. The QAnon people right now.
Well, no, but the thing is they will spin that into, well, now Matt Gaetz got busted. Matt Gaetz is a vigilante who was trying to ingratiate himself into the ring to bust the left wing pedophiles.
You got
to
get a little dirty sometimes.
You got to get some dirt. Yeah, so really, Matt Gaetz is a hero. Isolate that.
Yeah.
That's funny. Next promo.
Yeah.
Are you going to sell that as a non-fungible token?
Get a gizmo. Get a gizmo that says Matt Gaetz is a hero.
Yeah.
A patriot who sacrificed himself.
I just love that it's like QAnon. People are like, well, we need a little more evidence before we say anything right now, you know?
Yeah. Pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. They're squirming.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how big it is anymore. QAnon.
I don't know.
I mean, now that their president, the QAnon shaman, is still locked up, right?
It didn't happen. Yeah.
And you realize, that guy's a little crazy.
It's kind of like I hear less and less of the doomsday people now. You know, we were joking about this recently. Everyone's like, January 1st, 2000, world's coming in.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Everything's fine. And everyone's like, no, it'll be 2001 because you can't have a year zero. It's going to be 2001. And then that didn't happen. Then people are like, 2002, because if you put it backwards, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, obviously, that's it. And then nothing happens. And then they're like,
2006,
June 6th, 2006, nothing happens. Yeah. And then it's like
September 24th, 2012.
Because the Mayans said so. The people who aren't around anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
because they stopped
about.
There because they were like, why go further?
Yeah. We're all going to be dead.
Yes.
Who cares?
Yeah. Because they died and they couldn't renew their calendar. Okay.
Nobody there to flip the page.
That's right. Nobody was there to flip the page. All the naked firefighters they were going to have on there, you know, they were dead.
It was supposed to be Year of the Giraffe. 2012, all that. Wait, did you have anything going with that at the end?
No, that was just out of nowhere.
Well, let me do a hard transition over to big news, and we'll end it after this. Huh?
Okay. Yeah,
you guys got me?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Oh, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, do it.
Just very quick.
All right.
Did you get your COVID shot today?
No.
That's okay.
I still have 20 minutes. It ends at 2, right?
3.
Okay, sweet.
Boom,
then I'll go.
Okay, good.
Are you telling me it's almost 2 o'clock already?
It's 1:40.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, should we just end it then?
No.
All right. Big news here in our particular county. Last year, we passed to stop being a dry county and become a wet county, right?
Yeah.
And just
next
recently.
Indoor plumbing next, I guess.
Yeah, get rid of the dirt floors. The first place opened up here in Sevier County that allows beer to be sold.
Yes.
And I went a little viral.
You did.
You know? Yeah, because we took pictures of me grabbing two cases of beer, not deciding which one, so I got both.
Yeah.
You know, and people loved it. Got like 100 shares and this and that. So Sevier County, man. Sevier strong, right? All that. This is just... This ties in almost with the ageism thing I wanted to talk about. Ageism, probably one of the last acceptable forms of bigotry and isms.
Yeah.
That's like not, you know, you can make fun of an old senile person and it's all fine.
I think education level might be one too as well. But
that's true. Yeah. That's true. But, you know, and this is ageist of me to say, but there's less old people who have a problem with a wet county than there are young people who have a problem with a dry county.
A lot of them disappeared in the last 10 years. So.
So I'm not saying that's a good thing, but things are progressing. And man, this is big news. This is big news. The first beer purchased here in Sevier County at a local place. Yep. And, you know, I'm not sure where I wanted to go with that. But
is it perhaps, maybe it's not ironic, maybe it's just coincidental or whatever. I sound like Alanis Morissette here, but.
Isn't it ironic?
You know, rain on your wedding day, not irony.
Yeah, right, okay. Right, exactly.
It just sucks. Climate.
I mean, yeah, right. Unless you like paid somebody to make sure it didn't rain. I don't know.
Indoors.
But it is a immigrant founded and owned business.
Yes, right.
That is the first one to sell alcohol in a county in Arkansas that has prohibited the sale of alcohol for 100 years. Over 100 years since 1920.
And who's been voting on that? The white folk.
Yeah, absolutely.
The white folk has
been
keeping this suppressed for 100 years.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's amazing to see a successful immigrant-owned and immigrant-founded business, you know, spearheads this change here. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
You know, for culture and immigration and
absolutely.
Such.
Comments on that viral photo I loved. They were like, some of them, and I won't say if they were what nationality they were, but some people were like, well, what about Walmart?
I got to go to Little Mexico to get my beer.
Exactly. And then underneath that comment, somebody very cleverly commented, "Support local,
businesses."
Yes, I saw that.
Were you waiting for Walmart to sell
it? And I thought it was funny. The person that said, "What about Walmart?" It's those people are the ones that are all over Sevier Strong talking about support local,
right?
Yeah,
right.
So Walmart's just fine.
Yeah, okay. Walmart's exactly. So
not to mention their legal. The funny thing is, what about Walmart and this and that? The only thing that's stymieing Walmart or stymieing, I don't think that's a word.
You're right.
Stopping Walmart is like their corporate nonsense.
Yeah,
you know. So why not let a gosh darn local small town place open up.
I love it.
They took the initiative, got the jump, got the suppliers, got the distributors all on their board. I met the dude today, actually.
I did too.
I met the distributor today.
Oh, no, I met the owner guy.
Yeah, or not the distributor, but he came by and he has an iPad, like a Beyblade thing on his wrist. And
like a Bud Light guy or something?
He's a Bud Light guy, and he comes and he's it was like, you guys need a lot. He almost doubled his order because there's so nice. Cleaned out. Now that might be just the initial rush.
Sure, sure.
It's just good, awesome. If you're listening and you're far away and this sounds ridiculous, it's a big deal. At the least, if it sounds ridiculous, it should be interesting to you that this is a big deal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I tell people sometimes, you know, I can't tell them anymore, but I used to tell people, hey, we're a dry county. If you want to get a image of where I live, where I'm from, what this place is like, just let's start off by telling you can't buy alcohol in this county, and that blows people's minds.
Absolutely.
You could buy marijuana in this state before you could buy alcohol in this county.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Sure. No doubt.
Sad but true.
Yeah.
You could buy lottery tickets, you could buy weed, you could
buy alcohol.
You couldn't buy beer. You couldn't buy like a Zima or something.
Speaking of, we were talking about this on the show, I think, but today's seltzers are yesterday's Zima users.
Yeah,
just for the record.
Definitely.
Oh, just
brilliant. That's a brilliant.
Yeah, it's the workout turkeys, man. Workout turkeys needing those so they can, you know, they ain't getting that, they're gaining them LBs so they can still get smashed once again, bruh.
Right, bruh. Gotta burn off them calories, bruh.
Bring me that whole wheat sandwich, babe. You got kale on it? And give me my White Claw. Thank you. All right.
The only thing salty around here.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Guys. I think that's going to be it,
it's
y'all.
It's been fun.
This is a good one.
It's been a good one.
It's been a good one. Regrettablejtp@gmail.com. Do it.
Yeah. Support your local bootleggers. Yeah.
If you're a workout turkey who loves White Claw, if you're a server who wants to weigh in on our views on what you should be paid for some reason.
If you're Matt Gaetz, fuck yourself.
Yeah, just stop listening now. If you're a production line worker and you like what we said, you know, just holla. I'll get you a gizmo. That's the way it goes, right?
If you want to watch us do this crazy thing we call the Regrettable Podcast live on
every day.
Twitch.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say you can watch on Twitch when we actually cut it Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday morning / afternoon.
J. Wesley Lindley
on Twitch. Mm-hmm. And you can go back and watch the uncut version of all of the ones we've cut so far, which is
scary.
Because
we have a lot of stuff that I cut out.
And check out his sick COD videos.
Yeah.
Too.
I have one cool video.
All right.
Kate, one cool.
Yeah. You got to see it, though. If it's anything in life worth seeing.
KDQN 92.1 is the call letters and frequency band that we broadcast on every day with very similar things. So,
but just cut up in small bits.
That's right.
And then like some good news, weather, sports in between.
Yes. So, you know, and you can watch all of it on Facebook Live every day. So KDQN 921 on Facebook is a place where you can reach all of us.
You can also follow us and like us on all the social medias, individually.
J. Wesley Lindley.
That's me.
Tyler Massey / Ill Sessions.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick is... And he don't want it out
there.
That's fine. And then Regrettable is a thing that you can search and find all of them.
What do I not want?
Your information, your socials out there so people will friend you up.
Yeah, Stephen Massey. Just look me up on...
All right, yeah, Stephen Massey. Yeah, that's it.
And you sick weirdos that are listening to this, let us know what you think.
Gosh, right. Dang it.
Right.
Come on. Right.
We get the analytics. We see you.
We see you.
We know you there.
We know what playlist we went into.
Yeah, what did we describe ourselves as? That like is that one thing that you can't really admit that you listen to?
Yeah.
Weed in the 90s.
That's right. Like we're like weed in the 90s. Yeah. You can't be like, oh, I don't try.
Everybody uses it. You just can't tell anybody.
Yeah,
we won't tell nobody.
For cash. Disclose the information.
Yeah.
Send you a gizmo.
Kim Jong-un, we know you're listening.
Sorry,
dude, come on. Tell us something.
Just because you won't let the rest of your nation listen.
That's right. Yeah, they're slingshotting flash drives with our Regrettable show across the river into North Korea. All right, that's it.
Later.
Regrettable.
Peace.
Bye-bye.